Today I just wanted to share some things about our Heavenly Father, because He is truly what we seek to imitate. You know, we seek to imitate God. That's what Ephesians says. You know, as dear children, we endeavor to imitate Him. And if we know who He is, we can imitate Him. His Word reveals who He is, and He is a Father to each of us. And the attributes that God has as a Father far surpasses anything that any of us could ever dream of being. But He is a Father to each of us. Whether or not we've had a Father that's been good to us and tried His best to be a good Father, you know, an earthly dad, or not, we still have God as a Father. And I just wanted to take some time and look at some things. I've wrote some things down so I wouldn't forget any of the things that I was thinking of this morning as I was thinking about God as our Heavenly Father. And if we'll start in 1 John, because that's what I thought of first. You know, who is this Father of ours, and what is He like? What can we count on Him as being for us? You know, a Father, a perfect one, for certain. You know, 1 John says, you know, beloved, now are we the sons of God, right? He has made us His kids. He's adopted us and placed His seed within us. You know, we have it all. We have, like the word says, adoption in Ephesians. He's given us the spirit of adoption. The reason that He speaks of adoption is because in that culture, in the Roman culture, that the church epistles were written in, their perspective of adoption was that it can't be changed. Once a person's adopted into your household, it can never be changed. You can't undo adoption. No more so than you can undo physical birth. Your father, your dad is who he is. You can't change that, your earthly dad. Right? Our mom is who our mom is, and we can't change that. And from a practical point of view, adoption is unchangeable also. You know, and God has made us His sons. He's placed incorruptible seed within us. There's the new birth, and there's also the in their minds, the unchangeability of adoption and all the benefits that go along with it. We have everything from God, and nothing can change it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You know, we are God's kids. God, the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is our Father. And He is a great Father. He is the greatest. In 1 John 4, verse 8, it says, "He that loveth not knows not God, for God is what? God is love." God is love. You know, that is, in a practical sense, you know, it says in John that God is spirit. Well, God is love. You know, God is spirit. That's His nature. That's His being. And in a practical sense, how does He show Himself? In love. You know, God is love. There is no other description for God that's any greater than that. He's love. He is your Father, and He will love you through everything. Through everything. You know, that's God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, God is also caring. You know, He is a caring Father. You know, He's a Father who doesn't just forget about you or dismiss your cares and concerns. He cares about you. That's why it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care... Well, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." He'll lift you up. Casting all your care upon Him, verse 7 says, for He cares for you. He cares for you. He has constant care for you. You know, He is caring. You know, He never looks at you and when you're crying out to Him and says, "I don't care." He says, "I care for you." So what are you anxious about? What are you concerned about? Give them to Me. That's what God, as your Heavenly Father, says to you. Every day, every minute of every day, He cares. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, He's a heavenly Father to you. He loves the way love really was meant to be. He's the author of love. He's the epitome of love. He's the example of love. He understands love because He is love. He is caring. You know, and it says that He forgives us. You know, He forgives. In Ephesians chapter 4, He is forgiving. Because that's really what love is. Love cares. Love forgives. Love doesn't hang on to stuff and stay angry. You know, that's why it encourages us in the Word of God to be angry. Yeah, we're human. We're flesh. We're going to be angry. God, it says, He was angry at times with people and the way they reacted to Him and His love and His care. And yet He still forgave. You know, that's our God. He forgives. He's faithful to forgive. That's what it says in 1 John. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, God doesn't hold on to the things that make Him angry. He forgets about them. He forgives. You know, God is forgiving. You know, no matter what it is that you have done, He forgives. Because we have the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. He's forgiven us, so we endeavor to imitate that. We endeavor to imitate what it means to be God's children, to be the children of a loving Heavenly Father. You know, we should be caring because He's caring. We should be forgiving because He is forgiving. It says in Luke, look at Luke chapter 15. You know, God, this is our Father. This is His. This is. We couldn't ask for a greater Father than God. Sometimes we could ask for a better earthly dad. Right? Sometimes earthly dads, we as dads, sometimes fall short of the mark. But God never does. Is that what I said? Matthew? No. Luke, I said Luke 15. That's where I want to go. Luke 15. This is that wonderful parable, right? Of the prodigal son, the stupid son. Yeah, that's what we should focus on. The stupid idiot son. No. It's about the forgiving Father. This is a parable about a forgiving Father. Jesus Christ came to make known God as a Father. Every parable that He speaks of has to do with showing what God is all about. Not what people are. People know what people are. We can look around. We can see who people are and what people do. We don't need someone to teach us how stupid we are. Do we? No. We know full well how dumb we are. What we need is for someone to teach us how forgiving God is. And that's what this parable is all about. You know, it says, a certain man, verse 11, had two sons. Two of them. The younger of them said unto his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, you know, that I'm supposed to inherit, and give them to me now." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. All right. Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've all been there. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, he had to eat what the pigs ate. You know, this is a bad situation, right? Why? Because he was stupid. Sure, he was stupid. He's like everybody else in life, making bad mistakes, bad choices. Okay, but that's not the point. Everybody's been through that. Everybody's gotten down with the pigs and eaten with the pigs. You know, no one hadn't done that. The point is about what his father, how his father responded when he came back. When he came to himself, verse 17 says, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Even the servants in my father's house are better off than me. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. So just at least make me one of your hired servants. Hire me as a servant, and I'll be happy.'" And he arose, that was his decision, and he arose and came to his father. Verse 20, "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." The father ran to him. The father ran to him as soon as he was looking for him. He was expecting him. One of these days, I know he's going to come back and I will be ready for him. This is about a forgiving father. And he ran to make sure that he knew he was welcome. He ran to him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." So he knew that was really in his heart. And so he told his father. But the father said unto his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet." You know, the ring representing, you know, the authority of his household. He made him feel as though he'd done nothing wrong. That's a forgiving father. That's our God. See? That's the kind of father he is to us. "And bring hither," verse 23, "the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. See, the forgiving father. He didn't give him a lecture. He didn't sit there and say, "Okay, so, how was it out there?" He knew how it was. And he knew the son knew how it was. That's why he came back. And he was willing to forgive. See? And then, of course, you know the rest of the parable. The other son who had stayed with the father, you know, gets jealous and says, "What the heck? He's not worth that. He left." And then the father says to him, "Hey, come on. You're always here with me. Everything I have is yours. I haven't held anything back from you. Nor should I hold anything back from him. Rejoice. Your brother's back." You know? That's a forgiving father. That's who our God is. That's what Jesus Christ wanted to make sure people knew about God. He's forgiving. He's a father to you. He forgives you. He looks past those shortcomings. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. You know, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 9. Well, verse 8. It said, "Because the Lord loved you." See, that's why God does anything. Not because he has to, but because he loves. His love doesn't need a reason. Love just does. "Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father," because he keeps his word. Whatever he says, he keeps it. "Which hath sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Your God, your Father, is faithful. He is faithful. You know, your Father is God. He's the Almighty God. He's your Father. He's faithful. And he will do for you what he will do for you because he loves you. Because he is love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's faithful. God, your Father. He's a faithful Father. These are great things to remember about your Father. Our Father. He's the greatest, man. He is the very best. says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God's faithful. He called you, He invited you to fellowship with Him and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's faithful to that. He's faithful to that calling. He's faithful to that promise. He's faithful to everything He's ever said. Everything He's ever promised, He has to bring it to pass. That's a great Father. Look at Philippians chapter 4. You know, our Father is the source of our supply. You know, it says that He is our sufficiency in everything. In Philippians chapter 4, this is what God is willing to do. Philippians 4. This is pretty cool. You know, God wants us to know what kind of a Father He really is to us. In chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, it's because of what Christ Jesus did that God's willing to supply everything that you need. He is the source of your supply. He is the source that you go to receive what you need. God is. He's a Father and He's faithful to that. He'll be there for you. 2 Corinthians says the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. This is why we can count on Him to be the source of our supply. You know, where do we go when we need something? He's the source. When we look to Him, He supplies. God shall supply. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able, He's able, to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And He's the source of our supply. If we recognize Him as a loving Father who's ready to supply our every need, if we recognize Him and behave accordingly, we have what we need. We always have what we need. The context of this is in honoring God and giving the first fruits of our abundance. Because God is able. He is able. That's why we decide to give to Him. Because as a Father, He's able to make all grace abound toward us. You know, He is our Heavenly Father. He abounds in grace toward us. He does. He's gracious. He favors us. We are His favored kids. It's kind of like Joseph. You know, remember Joseph in the Old Testament, in Genesis? The one who got sold by his brothers into, you know, slavery into Egypt? Yeah. Well, Joseph was his father's favorite son. He was the favorite. Well, we are all Josephs in God's eyes. We are all each His favorite. He has grace for you. Favor. You know, He is the source of our supply. Look at Psalm 23. You remember Psalm 23. Anybody that's grown up in any church knows Psalm 23. It speaks of God's care for us and His supply. It says in verse 1, right, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. I will have no need." No need. He's our Father. How much more is a father going to provide for his children than a shepherd provides for his sheep? Well, God, as a Father, will make sure that you have no want in your life. And that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big promise. But God, because He is the source of our supply, we can expect to live that way. We can. We can expect it. Look at Psalm 46. I'm taking a little more time today than I usually take. Maybe a few more verses than I usually cover. Because God's worth the time. He's worth the time. Psalm 46. God is our refuge, verse 1 says. And as a Father, He's still that. He is our help in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. Or ever-present help in trouble. You know, when we find ourselves in trouble, you know, as little kids, when we find ourselves in trouble, what do? We usually run to daddy or mommy. Especially if some big bully at school is beating us up, where do we go? We don't go to mom, we go to dad. Daddy, you got to take care of this guy for me. He's bullying me. Well, when we get in trouble, we have a father who's there for us. He's an ever-present help in trouble. In Psalm 33, look at Psalm 33, verse 6. This is the kind of help we can count on. This is the kind of strength our Father has. 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." That's a pretty big verse. You know, it reminds us of God's real authority and power, and He's your Father. He just speaks and things happen. He gathered the waters, verse 7 says, of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. That's your Father. He's the one that will help you. This one that all of the earth stands in awe of. He's your Father. He's the one who'll help you. For verse 9 says, "He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Wow. You know, when God speaks, everything happens. That's the help you have. When you go to Him, when you find yourself in trouble, your Father's there for you. And this is the one who can help you. In chapter 27 of Psalm, or Psalm 27, back a couple of pages, this is our Father. He said, When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take me up. Even your earthly mom and dad may forsake you, may not help you, but the Lord, God, He's your Father. He will help you. He will take you up. He'll be there for you. Even if your earthly mom and dad aren't there, maybe can't help, God will be there for you. He's your Father. He will help you. He's your help. Matthew 6, you know, He is also a rewarder, right? What does it say in Hebrews? That God is a rewarder in Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, God is not a punisher. God is a rewarder. Your Heavenly Father will reward you. As you seek Him, as you come to Him, He will reward you. That's who your Father is. In Matthew 6, it speaks of the same thing. I think it's in verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter thou into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." That's what your Father will do for you. He'll reward you openly so that all can see that you are His child. You are His son. You are His daughter. He'll reward you. That's what God does. He's a rewarder. Your Father rewards you as you just simply come to Him and request of Him. He's a rewarder. In Hebrews 11, it says the same thing which I just quoted. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 45. God, your Father, is the perfect Father. He is the perfect Father. In verse 45, I think we'll start there. "That you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even as the publicans so. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Your Father is perfect. He's a perfect Father. He loves unconditionally. He cares all the time. He rewards for your faith and confidence in Him. He will help you when you're in trouble. And His help is comparable to no one else. He will forgive you. He will be faithful and just because that's who He is. He's forgiving. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, I wanted to look at this because this is a great, great section on how much God really does care. Matthew 10, verse 29. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father noticing or caring. It doesn't say that, but it's supplied. God notices. So even the sparrows, you know, the birds. But verse 30 says, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. If God cares that much about you, God loves you that much, you know, He is a Father who is willing to sit there with you in His lap and count the hairs. Boy, I know this one. I know this child of mine. I know how many hairs are on his head. I've spent that much time knowing him. You know, this is our Father. He is perfect in every way. Look at Ephesians 1. We can be so thankful because God is really the perfect Father to all of us. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says how much He has really done for us. Because of His love, because He is love, because He cares, because He's faithful, because He's forgiving. You know, what He has really provided for us. In verse 3 it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places with Christ. And He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. They are always for us. They are always there for us to benefit from. You know, we can expect, because God is perfect, because He is faithful, because He does care, because He has forgiven, we can expect to see these things in our lives. You know, there's no greater Father to have than God Almighty. You know, none. You know, we all need to remember, you know, who we are in life. We are sons of God. We have God's care. We have His love. We have His forgiveness, His compassion. We have His concern day by day. You know, it says in the Old Testament that He would never forsake His people. Ever. You know, well, what about His children? He can't forsake us either. And at verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him. He chose us. And He chose us. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, as far as God is concerned, when He looks at you, you're His child. You are holy. You're set apart. You're special. And you are without blame for any of your shortcomings. And He doesn't even look at the shortcomings anymore. But you're not without fault. We all have our faults, but we are without blame. We can count on God being that kind of Father to each of us. You know, every day. Every day, every minute, He's our Heavenly Father. All right? So be thankful that you have such a perfect and wonderful Father. I know I am. You know, and that's just a few of the things. I'm sure you can sit down and think of many more of the tremendous attributes that your Heavenly Father has and is willing to show you day by day. So with that, we'll pray and have the manifestations. All right, Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thank You, God, for being there for us, for being a Father to us. And as we endeavor to remember and walk as Your sons and daughters, that, Father, we see day by day Your great love that You have for us. And just how faithful You are and how mighty You are, Father. And that we can walk with You day by day. Thanks, Father, for being there for us. Thank You for Your tremendous love and grace. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And someone speak in tongues and interpret.
My children, rest easy because I am always with you. Look inward to me and never outward, for outward is danger. Look to me and I will keep you safe and keep you on the right path. You will never be alone. I love you as I love my own son, who I sent to the cross to die for your sins. In his blood you have been washed, and you are always clean in my eyes.
And someone else speak in tongues and interpret.
Kiante shahashonto, sekiante la kaporakunta, santirikiante hishosh koroyonto, samporokian, la kahanta, shantirikianto, shanhianta se. shankayanta arikyanta poro sakashantira tiyante stitikya. Know of an assurity, my children, that I, the Lord thy God, do love you. I have called you my children, I have fathered you, I have hand-selected you from before the foundation of this world to be my very own. I do know every hair on your head, I know every aspect of your life. Pour your hearts out to me, open the gates there and wide, allow me to work in your life, allow me to comfort you and to take care of you, for truly I am a loving dad, I am a father to you, I am a father to all of my children, and I will not leave you nor forsake you at any reason.
Someone prophecy.
Truly I, the Lord your God, am there with you, my children. I do see your hearts and I do rejoice, for truly you have beautiful hearts. You have tender, open hearts to me, and I only see those good things. I only see the Christ in you. For truly, I do know that you are growing. I do know that you are flesh. I do understand your hearts. I do see that you are aspiring. And I only look at the pure hearts that you have, my children. And truly, I have forgiven you of all things contrary to my word. For truly, I have made available a path for you that you could be victorious and successful in everything that you do. So just keep moving forward, my children. Be strong. Be brave. Know that I am your strength and I am that which helps you succeed in all things. I am your victory. So never be afraid to venture out. Try and move forward for me. For I, your God, do pave the way for you. I have given you great and exceeding precious promises and for eternity and for now. So hold tight to my hand and trust me. Don't be distracted. Just look to me and know I'm there for you. And that I will help you one step at a time.